Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Falaqtahama al-aqaba Wa ma adraka ma al-aqaba Fakku raqaba Aw it'amun fi yawmin dhi masghaba يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بمؤمن من بات شبعان وجاره إلى جنبه جائع وهو يعلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله The illustrious Sahabi of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم سيدنا عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه who was a Sahabi that Allah blessed him with abundant wealth. Once he was sitting and about to partake of his iftar. He was fasting the entire day, and at that time a person is looking forward to the meal, and whilst he sits down to partake of his iftar, he has a flash. Something of the past came to his mind. And he says, قُتِلَ مُسْعَبُ بْنُ عُمَيْرٍ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي My friend, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, was made shaheed, whereas he was better than me. Obviously, this was the humility of Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, since he being part of the Ashara Mubashara was greater and more virtuous than Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. However, out of his humility, he says that he was made shaheed and he was better than me. And then he goes on to explain the dire circumstances, financial constraints they were in at that time, that Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu only had one sheet of cloth, which was not enough to cover his body as a kafan. The incident is famous. And thereafter, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu goes on to say, ثُمَّ بُسِطَ لَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا بُسِطَ And thereafter, Allah blessed us with so much of dunya. Allah blessed us with so much of wealth. وَقَدْ خَشِينَا أَن تَكُونَ حَسَنَاتُنَا أُجِّلَتْ لَنَا And we have the fear. It should not be that Allah is rewarding us for all our good deeds in this world and there's nothing in store for us in Akhirat. Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu became so emotional at this. So emotional at this. Despite him being hungry, he was fasting the entire day. He began to cry. He loses his appetite. He leaves the food and he goes away. Respected friends, the question I'm asking myself today, and the question each one of us, Allah has blessed us with meals every day. Did it ever happen in 1 year, 7 months of the war in Gaza? Did it ever happen that we sat down with our family to eat a meal? And then this flash comes in our mind that there are children that are dying out of starvation and we cannot eat that day and we say, I won't eat. Let alone leaving a meal. Respected friends, did we leave out a luxury? Did we leave out some extravagance that we were spending on? We came back from a holiday 3 months ago, and now we're booking another holiday, overseas holiday, that is going to cost us ₹500,000. Did we say to our family, never mind, this ₹500,000 will feed so many starving children in Gaza. We will leave out this holiday for those children in Gaza. Respected friends, it's a very emotional topic. And as I said, every one of us needs to address ourselves. This is a reality that we as an ummah have forsaken the people of Gaza. It's not only the Muslim leaders and Muslim countries that have forsaken them. They have forsaken them in a certain way. We have also forsaken them. We speak about solidarity with the people of Gaza. Fair enough, alhamdulillah, we are doing a lot, or we are doing to a certain extent. We salute those that for this entire period, have boycotted certain products and certain things that were very dear to them. That is solidarity. We salute those that alhamdulillah have contributed. And the South African Muslim community is known for this. And the people there, they appreciate it. But have we done enough? Have we done enough? Has our extravagance stopped? Forget our needs. Spend on our needs. Yeah, he left out his need. He left out eating. Forget our needs. Spend on our needs. If we want to spend on our comforts, also spend on our comforts. We're speaking about that extravagance that we are wasting so much when there are children in the ummah that are starving. Starvation is not only in Gaza, it's in different parts of the world. But obviously Gaza is very dear to us because of various reasons. And the starvation levels there have reached unprecedented proportions. Perhaps we don't even know what is going on. 69 days the border is completely closed. Nothing has gone in. In 69 days, apart from previously, now the last blockade, 69 days nothing goes in. And this seems to be the new tactic of the enemy. They've realized that we failed in every other way. They fail, militarily they fail. Although they're saying that we're going to expand our military operation, the good news that is coming out from Gaza and Rafah in the last few days, alhamdulillah, Allah is blessing the resistance with great victory, very, very tactical operations. And they are meeting out very, very severe blows on the enemy. Helicopters going in and out to evacuate the injured and the dead. In that area that has been under complete military control for 2 months. So alhamdulillah, Allah is blessing them with the resistance. The people of Gaza, Allah has blessed them with that iman. That despite all of this, they are not complaining. They are not complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will still remain there. But respected friends, these are realities that we need to understand. That the enemy is using this hunger tactic. They fail in every other way. So, complete blockade. Then, all those places where there's food stored, targeting those places. Then, last week news, they even had the agents to go as thieves to loot the warehouses that had the essentials, food essentials. That also, alhamdulillah, the resistance managed to overcome that. They used a very firm and an iron fist against those people, although they seem to be their own people. But it was so planned that whenever they were apprehended, immediately there will be air cover. There will be drone attacks. So well coordinated with the enemy. This also failed. This week, respected friends, in Shari'ul Wahda, it's a street in the central Gaza. And this street is known for its restaurants and for the eateries and the street vendors that are there selling food. Like for example, just a wild example like Sparks Road. And it was filled with civilians, all going for food, the little that they have, they're going to buy food. And at that time there were attacks. More than 30 civilians were killed and the number of the injured are many more. So these are planned tactics in order to cripple these people. Because obviously people can manage other things. They've managed all of that. But hunger and starvation is something which is very, very difficult to manage. One Arab writer or analyst, he wrote, so aptly he writes, and he says, غَزَّةُ جَاعِئَةٌ يَا عَرَبٌ. O Arabs, Gaza is hungry. Gaza is starving. He goes on to say that those people that did not surrender and did not bow down to 100,000 tons of explosives, today they are trying to make them surrender amam al-khubz just for a loaf of bread. They are making them surrender for a loaf of bread. He goes on to say, we don't want all your advanced military equipment. The only thing we are asking you, نُرِيدُ الْخُبْزَ لِأَهْلِنَا الْخُبْزَ فَقَطْ. We only asking you for bread. Respected friends, this is the reality. Bread, which is a basic commodity, which many a times in our homes it is thrown away. It is discarded. That is one of the biggest concerns that a person in Gaza has today. Every morning a person goes out looking for bread. One person said, Al-Yom, Akbaru Hammin Nasi Al-Khubz. The greatest concern that people have today is bread. So, They say, another journalist, very famous journalist, he writes, and he says that to get luqmatul aish, a morsel for survival, a morsel to keep a person alive, he says this is the biggest war today which every person in Gaza has to face every day. Every day, say we manage everything else. We manage the bombing, we manage the demolishing, we manage everything. But this is something which is becoming very, very difficult for us. La waja'a as'abu min al-ju'. They say there is no pain that's more severe than hunger. We don't even know what it means to be hungry. But these people are saying that we don't know any pain. There's no pain that is worse than hunger. Despite all that they went through, one woman, she presents her 4-month-year-old child and she tells the world that this child is 4 months old, only weighing 1.5 kilo. 1.5 kilo, if a child is born, the doctors won't allow the child out of the hospital. Underweight. This 4-month child, like that, there were so many children that have passed away in the last few days because of malnutrition. Now this is happening, respected friends in the Ummah. The question is, as I said in the beginning, that has this even affected us? Has this stopped our wasteful expenditure? One person from Gaza, living through all of this, he writes so beautifully, so aptly. He says, what does famine mean? Perhaps you don't even know what it means to be hungry. He explains to the world. He says it means feeling every part of your body slowly dying. Every part of your body is slowly dying. Your stomach screams and no one answers. For bread to become a dream, for water to become a wish, that your eyes wither, your legs weaken, your tongue dries up, to see your children fade away in front of you and you are powerless to do anything. These are 2 million brothers and sisters of ours that are living this on a daily basis. A sack of flour this week, a sack of flour in Gaza is, it costs 1,800 shekels, which is approximately 10,000 rands. 10,000 rands compared to previously 15 shekels. 15 shekels to 1,800 shekels. They don't have any flour left. So in order to make bread, bread is basic commodity to live. So they are grinding lentils, grinding rice, grinding pasta in order to make their bread. There's reports of people being killed on a daily basis looking for flour. If we think 1,800 shekels is expensive for a bag of flour, 10,000 rands is expensive for a bag of flour, it's much more expensive than that. It's costing people lives. Daily a person goes out, a child will go out looking for a bag of flour and he is struck with a missile and that's the end of that child. So that bag of flour didn't cost 10,000 rand, it cost him his life. And like this, there are so many other things. I'm sure we may be reading some of these things, the level of the starvation. The question that I asked myself in the beginning, and the question each one of us has to ask ourselves, did it ever happen? Forget our basic needs. When we were embarking on a wasteful expenditure, and we thought to ourselves, no, I can't do it now. Our children were insisting they wanted something. No, my child, you have enough. Maybe I wanted to upgrade my 2-year-old vehicle. The vehicle was 2 years old. It was nothing wrong with the vehicle. I wanted to upgrade that vehicle, which will cost me 500,000 rand. I said, never mind, this 500,000 rand. If I don't upgrade my vehicle, it doesn't make a difference to my life. This 500,000 rand will feed so many innocent children, starving children in Gaza. Respected friends, as I said, it's an emotional topic. It may seem hard. It may seem harsh. It may be hard hitting. But this is a question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves. This is a question that I need to ask myself. That did I curtail any of my extravagant spending? My holiday, my function. Maybe I could have that function for half the amount, I would have still had the function. But the wasteful spending on functions, on holidays, holiday after holiday, as if nothing is happening in the ummah. This is not the condition of a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have heard many a times the hadith, the famous hadith, that when one part of the body is paining, the other part of the body, the entire body mobilizes, the ummah is suffering. The ummah, one part of the ummah is suffering, the entire ummah has to mobilize. It's not enough for us to blame the Muslim countries, to blame the Muslim governments. We have to do something, respected friends. I found out, when I thought about this topic, I found out from certain people that are involved, they said, legally you still can send funds into Gaza. Legally you still can send funds into Gaza. And it can never be a crime. In any country of the world, it's never supposed to be a crime to send money to feed people that are starving in this way. To feed people that are starving in this way, it can never be a crime. Respected friends, if we look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were not selfish. They are amazing incidents. There's a famous incident that had transpired in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, which was known as Amur Ramada, the year of Ramada. Ramad actually means dust. Because of the famine and because of the drought that people were suffering from, there was no vegetation, so there was a lot of dust flying. Therefore it was known as Amur Ramada, the year of dust. Read up about Umar radiallahu anhu. There's so much written on how Umar radiallahu anhu changed. What policies he adopted. Why? Because people are starving. His diet changed. Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to normally eat food that was cooked in ghee, because that was suitable for his stomach. Olive oil was not suitable for his stomach. It would cause pains in his stomach. But because ghee was more expensive, the people could not afford ghee. The people, he could afford it. The people, the general masses could not afford it. Umar radiallahu anhu, throughout that entire period, he did not eat ghee for that entire period. He ate food with olive oil. And his stomach will rumble. His stomach will pain. His stomach will growl. Umar radiallahu anhu would poke his stomach. And he would say, Qarqir aw la tuqarqir. You can continue rumbling. As long as people cannot afford ghee, you will not get ghee. Umar radiallahu anhu one day sees a young child in his family, most probably a grandchild, eating some melon. He says, Bakh, bakh. Ibnatu Amir al-Mu'mineen ya'kulu al-Fatiha ya'kulu al-Fatiha wa ummatu Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam halka. He says, wow, a child of Amir al-Mu'mineen is enjoying a fruit when the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dying of starvation. We're not saying don't eat. We're not saying don't spend on our comforts. We are not of that level where we can sacrifice to this level. But the point is our extravagant expenditure. If we just curtail that, respected friends, I am quite confident that if the South African Muslims have to curtail their extravagant expenditure, inshallah it will make a massive difference to the people in Gaza. Just our extravagance, it will make a massive difference there. So Umar radiallahu anhu, the narrators say, the historians say, people that were close to him, they say that because he was not getting his normal diet, even his skin color changed. The color of his skin changed during that time. So to this level Umar radiallahu anhu went. Why? The ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dying out of starvation. My solidarity for them is, although I may afford it, I won't have it. Why? Because the ummat can't afford it. My child will not eat it. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu smelled some nice food being cooked. He sends his slave Aslam, go and see who's cooking this night food. He could get the smell of meat during this period. So he goes and he inquires and he finds out it was one of the sons of Umar radiallahu anhu that was cooking some meat. So when he comes there, he says, your father sent me. He said, please, don't inform my father. Don't inform my father. He says, your father only sent me because he knows I will give him an accurate report. The only reason he sent me because he knows I will give him an accurate report. And he goes back and he gives the report to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu gives the instruction that my son cannot eat that meat. Go and give that meat away because the people don't have meat to eat. How can my son eat meat? This was how firm he was. They had the food. They could afford it, but still their basic necessities. When the ummah is suffering in this way, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I mentioned in the beginning, لَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ مَنْ بَاتَ شَبْعَانٍ وَجَارُهُ إِلَىٰ جَنْبِهِ جَاعِئٌ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمٌ. That person cannot be a complete believer. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, that person cannot be a complete believer who sleeps with a full stomach, let alone sleeping with a full stomach. Today we are sleeping with an upset stomach because we overate. We're sleeping with an upset stomach because we overate. We're waking up in the middle of the night running to the toilet because we got indigestion. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that person cannot be a believer who sleeps with a full stomach whilst his neighbor is starving and he knows about it. Yes, definitely there's starvation all over. In our own communities, in our localities, neighboring localities, we will find people that are starving. But we're speaking about this specific catastrophe. And this is something which is very, very close to us. Man-made starvation. And the whole ummah sits back and continues life as normal, like nothing is happening in the ummah. Whereas Rasulullah ﷺ is saying, that person cannot be a complete believer. On one occasion, we are coming to the occasion of Eid al-Adha. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us, we slaughter. And it's a great thing to enliven this ibadat of qurbani. And we slaughter extra nafil qurbani as well. There's an incident that had occurred in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where 1 year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa gave instruction to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that you are only allowed to partake from the qurbani animal for 3 days. Only for 3 days. Because, nevertheless, the next year, Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that last year your command and instruction was only 3 days and thereafter you must give everything away. So does that instruction remain this year? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, that was for last year. Because last year there was a delegation, there was a tribe of people or family of people or a group of people that had come to Madina Munawara and they were hungry, they were starving. They didn't have food. Therefore I gave that instruction. That qurbani meat, which normally there's so much of encouragement to partake of that meat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because these people are hungry, this year you will not partake of that qurbani meat for more than 3 days. Give it away to these people so they can satisfy their hunger. So respected friends, this is the emphasis that Rasulullah SAW placed on this, on helping others, feeding those that are starving. The occasion of qurbani is coming. Definitely we have to do our wajib qurbani. And we do nafil qurbani, very rewarding. But perhaps, it may be an idea, it's not a mustard that we're giving, it may be an idea this year, that we say, let us cut down some of our nafil qurbani. Cut down some of our nafil qurbani. Maybe we can't make qurbani in Gaza. It may be difficult for the meat of qurbani to reach there. But now they're not asking for meat, they're asking for bread. Send that money. If it was 10,000 rand, 20,000 rand on extra, we would have spent on nafil qurbani. Send that money to those people, at least they can have some luqma to eat. Luqmatul aish, something for them to live. This is for the benefit of those that have come later. We are discussing the current situation in Gaza and how this seems to be the tactic of the enemy to starve them, to starve the people of Gaza, and different ways they have tried. For more than 69 days, the border has been completely closed. Nothing going in. Children are dying out of malnutrition, starvation. People are being killed. Just going to find some food, they are being killed. They are being targeted deliberately. And in this condition, what is our responsibility as the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As I said, one is our necessities. The Umar radiallahu anhu, we spoke about Umar radiallahu anhu, that even cut down on their necessities because the Ummah was suffering. Then the next level is our comforts. We need certain things. We are addicted to luxuries and comforts. I'm saying even that, if we cannot sacrifice our comforts, like Umar radiallahu anhu made his grandchild sacrifice that comfort, or he reproached the grandchild, you are eating fruit when there are people that are starving. Maybe we can't even make that sacrifice. We're not saying that we have to stop eating fruit. We're not saying we have to stop our comforts. But we're speaking about the extravagance, which unfortunately is such a major problem. Our senior ulama repeatedly, those that come from outside as well, they repeatedly warn us of what happened in Burma because of the extravagant expenditure. It's not time for us to point fingers on others. Every one of us, let us take stock of our lives and look and see how much we are wasting on extravagant expenditure. Extravagant expenditure. And just make a resolution that from now on, till this war is over and inshallah these people are comfortable, we won't spend on anything extravagant. We won't spend on anything extravagant. Or half maybe. Cut it by half even. And that will be sent to these people. Or anywhere else that there are people that are in need. So this is the cry and this is the concern and the question that we need to ask ourselves. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited Sahaba radiallahu anhum from eating that udhiya meat for more than 3 days, when Umar radiallahu anhu was so hard on himself, shouldn't we as an ummah take some steps? One is, we can blame the Muslim countries, and definitely they are worthy of blame. We are not covering up for them now. In fact, last night the report came out that some of the one Muslim country that was involved in dropping aid, $440,000 per airdrop they were making profit. $2,200 every aid truck that went through, they were making profit. So when your brothers are suffering, instead of helping them, you are making profit and supporting the enemy. So definitely, we cannot say that they are free from blame. But every one of us needs to ask ourselves, that have I done anything? And if I have done, and alhamdulillah we do, as we said, the South African Muslim community does a lot. And it's a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps the comforts that Allah has blessed us with, and the deeni freedom that Allah has blessed us with, perhaps it is the barakah of our sadaqah, that Allah has kept us in this condition. But the question I need to ask myself, if I did, have I done enough? If I did, have I done enough? There are still children that are starving. I will conclude on this one post by a journalist in Gaza. Something very, very apt. He says, the people of Gaza are starving in an age of full stomachs, in an age of lavish feasts, in an age of full stomachs, in an age of lavish feasts, in an age of flabby bellies. I think we'll be thinking, this morning I should be talking, be the last one to talk. Yes, we're addressing ourselves. We are addressing ourselves here. We are living in an age of flabby bellies. Then, and that complain of being full. As I said, we are suffering indigestion. We ate so much that we're suffering from stomach problems. Here they have issues because they don't have any food. In an age of slimming clinics, diet doctors, and weight loss programs. This is when the ummah is suffering in Gaza. Respected friends, if we don't mobilize now, if we don't make certain important decisions in our life now, then when will we make those decisions? In Surah Balad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how a person will get Jannah. It's a detailed explanation, but just the gist of the explanation, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَى, that why don't you climb over this hurdle, and why don't you take on this task? What is this task? فَقْقُ رَقَبَى, freeing someone, that is freeing a slave. In today's time, it could be freeing a prisoner. أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَزْغَبَى يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَى أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَى, or feeding in a time of starvation, in a difficult time, to feed an orphan that may be close to you, maybe a family member. To feed any orphan is important, but a family member becomes more important. Oh, miskeen and dha matraba, oh, feeding a poor person that is in the sand. This is the literal translation of the verse, showing what a pitiable condition the person is in. He's got nothing whatsoever. He's actually on the sand. He's got nothing. Feeding that person, this will be a means of a person getting his Jannah and reaching his goal in Akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take lesson from what's going on. 7th of October has made many changes in the world. Many things have changed in the world. The question I need to ask myself, and every one of us needs to ask ourselves, that has 7th of October made any changes in my life? Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.